Wembley. Memories of 74 when the great Phil Thompson silenced the Newcastle loudmouth superback. Should be some occasion. Tonight, we went into this game a goal down from the first leg. A controversial goal we know about, but we took Spurs to the cleaners. We hit the post twice. We could have scored six or seven tonight. No doubt about that. We were brilliant. To a man, every player was brilliant. Great opening goal. Salah with a wonderful assist. Cody Gakpo loves this competition. Great finish back stick. Then Mo Salah converted a penalty at the top end. Brilliantly won by Darwin Nunez. Dominic Szoboszlai made it three. McAllister with a lovely ball. Conor Bradley with the assist. And then the big man appropriately, Virgil van Dijk, heads in at the top end to lead Liverpool back to Wembley. 4-1 aggregates.
Steve Hunter summing up an incredible evening at Anfield as Liverpool sealed their place in the League Cup final with a thumping 4-0 win over Tottenham. I'm Rob Jones, you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up on this podcast, Arne Slot and Conor Bradley give us their thoughts on the trip to Wembley. But we'll start pitch side, where former Liverpool skipper Phil Thompson and Liverpool women's defender Gemma Bonner loved every minute of tonight's game.
It's some team, we said they were up for it. You could see that passion, that commitment after each goal. Even the fourth one goes in and the crowd, Virgil's whipping up them up into a frenzy. It was a proper display by the boys. Absolutely terrific. I thought from start to finish, we dominated it and it was wonderful. Yes, it was a big game and I said hopefully the crowd realised it. How good was it, by the way? Went through a repertoire of songs tonight. It was just
the greatest hits.
No, we're practicing for Wembley.
And Wembley it is. But one of the best things about the performance, Gemma, is that you say 2-3 minutes into that game, I just felt in absolutely no doubt that Liverpool were going to get the job done.
Yeah, I think you could see by the intent, the way that Liverpool started off. I think Spurs obviously started with the kickoff, but straight away Liverpool had the ball, were on the attack. I think there was a lot of energy, a lot of intensity, and I think you could see that Spurs were really struggling with that in terms of getting hold of the game. I think they came out, it didn't really suit in how they sat in. I think that played into Liverpool's hands. And I think once Liverpool scored the first, it was only going to be a matter of how many, and it could have been a few more as well.
We were talking about some of the great nights under Jurgen Klopp as we watched the game, and the contrast seemed that under Klopp there was this ability to blitz a team in 15 minutes, whereas with Arne Slot it almost is grind you down, but you know it's coming at some point.
Well, we did say before the game, you feel like this team comes to life in the second half, and it's not, is it by design? Because it's very slow to build up and everything, and as you say, they grind teams down and they move the ball about that quick. And when you're defending, you can't concentrate all the time. You know at some point we are going to break through. And that's what we were like. And Spurs, you're quite right, Gemma. They were looking at it and they were going, at times when we were going all the way back to Cavine, they were going, do we really want to come out? And they were. And they were going, all of a sudden they were going, oh, we've got to get back. So it was alien to them. But that was the way we played, and I thought it was excellent how we handled the game completely.
Just to pick up on a couple of points there, that, again, one of the things we said whilst watching the game is about them facing wave after wave. It's like you just can't keep doing this if you're Tottenham. You knew that eventually Liverpool were going to find ways through and score goals, or certainly create clear-cut chances.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you'll know as a defender, when you're kind of sitting in, you're just inviting that pressure on, and you know there's only so long that you can sustain it for. I think also when you win the ball back, there's not really much of an outlet. They're still all so close to you, you know, you're asking players to do it on their own, and I think Liverpool really penned them in terms of when you've got Virgil van Dijk, Ibu Konate winning the second balls, dominating whether it's in the air or covering. I think it was only a matter of time for Spurs. I don't think it really suited them. I think you could tell they didn't really feel comfortable in terms of playing. The amount of players that moved during the game played different positions. I think for Archie Gray, he's moved three different times, and I think Liverpool saw the opportunity and took it. And I think the more that Spurs came out after they'd scored the goal, it only played into Liverpool's hands.
That's confusing by the manager, just tactically. You move in one player to three different positions. It's not known, and it's great because people are going, well, the player can play in all these things, but it's not right. Something's going wrong for him to keep having to keep on changing. But back to us, the intensity when we lost the ball was just incredible. The first half, we didn't actually have that many chances, But it was that wearing a team down, keeping passing the ball quickly. But as soon as they had it, we won it back. And that must have been so demoralising for them. Must have gone, oh my goodness, here they are again.
You used the phrase alien, and Gemma said it didn't really suit them there about Tottenham. It's the first time ever in a game that they've not had a shot on target under Ange Postecoglou. Do you think that they should have either died on their sword tonight and gone for it, and if they'd got that first goal to make it 2-0 on aggregate, it might have been very different? Or do you think whatever they tried against this Liverpool team tonight, it wouldn't have worked?
Yeah, but it's great to go down doing what you do well, and that's where they attack. All their strength, you look at the players that they've got, are all offensive players. They've had having problems defensively, but we moved the ball round, and we were getting through them, but they couldn't keep the ball. It was Richarlison's falling over and everything, and Kulusevski, who I think is a great player, by the way, he couldn't keep possession. We were just so much on top of them every time they got possession of the ball. It was an absolute treat. It was a perfect example of how you win the ball back quickly. Barcelona made a great habit of it, didn't he? 6-second rule. And I think you see tonight, this team has so much energy to go and win the ball back all the time.
I think also they were quite early on. I mean, we were watching saying, you know, they're playing for corners and it's only 25 minutes into the game. So I think they probably saw that as an area they could hurt Liverpool. But I thought Liverpool defended them, won first contacts, and then they were off again. And I think, you know, the way that they suited them, you know, as players, it's not comfortable. You're not confident. And I think the way that Spurs have been playing, they've been trying to instill that belief in this is the way that we play, this is our identity. So to then come away from that, yeah. I mean, I'm wondering what they would do, but I'm not complaining.
I do. It's hard, isn't it? Because we were so good.
Yeah.
We wanted this game and we were so good. You come to Anfield for a second leg, you know this is going to be tough. And if you're either going to have a go, a real go, and say, right, we'll go down. I just think they went down with a whimper, to be perfectly honest.
As for the Liverpool goals then, Cody Gakpo gets the opener. And again, we're sort of going through our whole conversation whilst we sort of sat and watched the match. But he is just so impressive this season. He's gone up more than one level, you would say.
He has. And I think, you know, whether it's him creating goals or scoring goals, the opposite side, he's always at that back post. He's always on the end of the crosses. And I think you could see the amount of bodies that Liverpool got into the box. We spoke about before the energy of Szoboszlai, Curtis Jones getting into the box, affecting those defenders. And, you know, it's come off a cross, everyone's missed it. And who's there at the back to Cody Gakpo? I think it was a fantastic finish.
It's a difficult finish, isn't it? Because it comes through a ruck of players. Mm. I think Darwin actually tries overhead kick. Believe it or not, it's probably one of the worst overhead kicks I've ever seen. But it comes through a ruck of players, and for him to hit it first time, I thought was brilliant. Is that 7 home games on the trot that he's actually scored? Mm. I think. So I think anyway. Got told that earlier on. I thought he'd use it.
I'm sure you're right.
But he's quite right. And I think the manager needs to take a little bit, because early on the season it was him and Luis Diaz, both of them probably our best players early on. But Cody has just been absolutely fantastic. So much confidence on that corner of the box. He's just been brilliant.
Do you think then, for the biggest games, for example, let's take the final, that it's a conversation that Salah definitely starts on the right, Gakpo definitely starts on the left, and then it's just whoever you want down the middle?
Yeah, well, I would think Luis Diaz comes into the equation. As good as Darwin's played tonight, you just look at Luis, can cause people problems a little bit more. He's a bit more intelligent than Darwin when he drops into the space and picks holes where he can get it and turn and go at people. And Darwin's done his stuff. He's run them into the ground today. But Luis can come on and just be a little bit clever getting in between the holes.
And it's Darwin Núñez who wins the penalty for number two.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about how much he was going to stretch the lines, and he's making that run. I think it's a great little ball through, and I mean, we discussed it. It's a long way for the goalkeeper to come out, but again, he's putting pressure on that back line, and what a finish it was from Salah. You know, he's put it in the top bins.
I actually thought the keeper was favourite for the ball. When that went through, I thought, he's going to get it. He was so quick, Darwin, and he's just prodded it past him. And you know that at the time you go, I thought it was a penalty at sort of full view, and we had a little monitor in the stand, and you've gone, oh, it was absolutely nailed on.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because it is a split second. But there was, as Gemma said, Kinski comes a long way, and there was a moment where, as a goalkeeper, you think, actually, should I just bail out here and stay on my line? And it's the ball was going a fraction away from goal, and Nunes still has a bit to do, even if he gets there.
Not a fair point, and that's it. It's decision making, and the boy Kinski had a great first leg, didn't he?
Yeah.
He just signed, and he had an absolute worldie. I thought he was he panicked, something wrong. And I think probably the biggest thing was when the ball was in the air, Virgil walked away, thinking he's going out, and he punched it out for a corner kick. Mm. And you went, oh my God, that is not good. Your defenders all round you go, oh. And I'd know if that was my keeper, I'd think, I'm like, what are you doing? And you shouldn't be like that. You want to be nice, cool, calm and composed. Just pluck that out the air.
Yeah, that was the other thing about Kinski. A couple of times from set pieces, I mean, he was almost at Goodison Park, how far out off his line he came to try. And you think, where are you going? And as Tomo said, for centre-halves, particularly someone new like Kevin Danzo, you're thinking, where are you going? Like, leave us to deal with it when it's that far away from your goal line.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really fill you with confidence as a back line. And I think Liverpool really tested. And I think, you know, I saw the one where Virgil's just walked away and it should have been a routine save. But I think we also spoke before the game about the effect of the crowd, the pressure, the environment. And, you know, they are young players. They've got a lot of young players in that back line that moved. And I think you could really tell that the heads had lost in the second half.
As well, isn't it, Gemma? The fans go, oh my goodness, what's just... And you don't want that, you know, because it was just there. A decent goalkeeper had just plucked that out of the air.
Talking of pressure, the fella who took the penalty doesn't feel it.
Mo does what Mo does, doesn't he?
He absolutely smashed that in.
Absolutely. And then the keepers probably think, I've got a bit of a chance here. I'm going to sort of psych him out of it. But you just know it, Mo. He's switching things with how he takes penalties. And it's good because everybody does the homework. They all look and they all say about the penalties. You mix them up, the next goalkeeper's going to face him will be thinking, where's this one going?
Well, this one went right into the roof of the net. We spoke, Gemma, about the influence of Dominic Szoboszlai in the 6-3 game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium just before Christmas, and he got number three, ably assisted by Conor Bradley.
Yeah, I think it was a fantastic bit of play, especially the balls through. And I think what I found in the first half, it was almost taking that extra touch in the final third. And I think you see for that third goal, you know, they've played one touch, Conor Bradley, the weight of pass. And Szoboszlai does what he does and he's making that third player run, and it was a great finish. But I think you have to have that energy, the players running forward and the ball ultimately making their decision for them. And I think that was probably the difference in terms of those final parts and getting the goals.
This was the best goal. This was a proper footy goal. This is gone, and it's we've cut them open with first time passing. Even Connors, and you go, oh yeah, that looks quite simple. It's nice first time. That's under pressure. You're getting it right and the right weight on the ball, and it was there as it comes through them. It was just, it was a joy to watch.
I wonder whether Szoboszlai, the effectiveness he brings against Tottenham, is because all three that are in there, you'd say none of them are sort of a natural defensive midfielder like Fabinho over the years, and they're not quite sure where to follow Szoboszlai and when.
Well, I'll go back to earlier. I think we interviewed him after one of the games, and it was lovely to hear a little bit of tactics coming from the players. And he says, you know, we have a 6 and we have an 8 and we have a 10, and I'm a 10. And we don't play in straight lines. And, you know, we get between that. And he says, I'm the 10. And I've thought, well, that's interesting. He's obviously the furthest one forward. He's expected. So Arnaud and his staff have probably done the homework, and they've gone, he's got the most energy out of everybody. So you do that role. If you can make it more runs than anybody else, you go on and do it. And I think that is it. And it was the Tottenham game away in the league. He was just astonishing. And I thought, again tonight, you've got to make use of your attributes, and that is his, getting from box to box.
I think also he needed to add goals to his game. Obviously, if you're going to play in that 10, you have to have goals and assists. No. But having that attribute, you need people to find you when you're making those runs. And you know that the difference in terms of being onside, offside, and the weight of the balls through, I think that's the difference. And Liverpool have got players that can feed those passes.
And on the assists as well, there's obviously naturally comparisons made between Conor Bradley and Trent, and probably that Conor Bradley doesn't quite have the poise and the range of passing as Trent does, but he offers you something very different in attack, that he can skip past players, and as Tommy said, it's a cracking ball as well through to Dominic Szoboszlai.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was excellent tonight, the energy that he brings. I think defensively, you know, we know he loves a good tackle, he wins the ball back, but he's off again, he's straight away, he's on the attack, and he affects players with his forward runs. I think we saw that with Robertson on the other side, how narrow they play, and it gives the wide players space to go into.
I seen him do a trick just over there in front of the cop, and the inside right in the cop, and he honestly, even my cartilage has come out. He dropped the shoulder and he sort of jinked the ball. I thought, he's a defender, for goodness sake. But it was a great bit of skill. And this underlap, what he has got, him and Mo are working on this right-hand side, it's quite something to watch, because when they double up on Mo, and as they double up, they leave that little space, and Connor's gone, and he's doing it all the time. And if he does get picked up, it's leaving this one square for another player.
And sorry, Gemma, go on.
No, I think they really complement each other in terms of playing with Mo. I think there's a lot of times where he tries to run in field, and he can see he's looking for the diagonal ball, but if he doesn't get it, he's leaving Mo 1v1 with their defender, or he gives them the space. So I think he's really clever in terms of not just running for the sake of running. I think he really runs to affect the defenders, whether it's for him or someone else.
And the point that Gemma made as well about the tackling, I mean, back in your day, you would say get into them early, leave one on them in the first 10 or 15 minutes. You can't quite do that these days, but still with a powerful challenge, it gets the place going. Remember that one that he made against Mbappe against Real Madrid, but there was another one earlier on down this side where he absolutely battered into someone, and again, everyone got themselves going a little bit.
And it does. I don't care over what generation you can go. Everybody loves a player who'll put a tackle in. Tommy Smith was legendary for it. But you see young Connor come in, and you can sort of, you stake your, and he is different to Trent, and he loves a tackle, and you don't want to change that. You've got good timing on it, and you can clatter into somebody, take a ball in the mouth. It's no different throughout the generations. The fans love it, particularly in this place. And when you're doing it quite close to it, to the Kenny Dalglish stand, it just makes it feel all the better.
And there was still time for one more, and the captain did his bit from a corner.
Yeah, I think for me, it's probably something that I'm thinking Liverpool should be scoring more from set pieces. The quality of the delivery they've got, the size of the players, and, you know, Virgil does what Virgil does. He was very dominant in the air, and you could see, again, how much that goal meant to him, how much he celebrated at the Kop end. I think it probably just topped off a great night.
And do you know, to be honest, one downside, I thought, because we had so many corners, I thought a lot of them were poor. We didn't get them above the first man. We ended up trying, I think it was Dominic who was trying to get across the front man, because there was that many poor ones.
And he got that one flick in, didn't he, that Kinski made the save from early in the second half.
There wasn't many, considering how many we got. You know, Ibu and Verge are so good in the air. They should be scoring more goals. And this one, they delivered, I think, was it McAllister?
Yeah.
I think it was his first set piece from him. Mm-hmm. And it was a great delivery. It was crowded in there, and the size of the boys, they should be getting more goals.
And it felt fitting as well that Van Dijk capped tonight, and you've both been captains, and he is almost like an orchestral conductor. It was quite interesting that obviously at 1-0 he did it, but that 2-0 he sort of made this gesture to say, come on, there's more to do here. And then there was a moment, I think at 3-0, where Mo Salah got the ball and tried to weave past someone over that way, and he just said, no, calm down, the job is done now, let's just see this out. And that's part of leadership, isn't it? Knowing when to keep your foot on the throat and knowing when to say, we're done now, see you in the final.
Yeah, I think, you know, he reads the game unbelievably well. He feels it, he sees it. Obviously, at the back, you see a lot of things what go on. And I think it's easy when you're almost removed from that. You can kind of take out the emotion, you can manage the game. And I think how he leads is exceptional in terms of getting those messages across. He knows when to drive the intensity, speed things up, but also, you know, look at the position you were in, because it's quite easy in these kind of games that everyone wants to go, 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 and almost that lose control. So I think in terms of him, he can see it all. He's very calm. He's very assured. And I think he organises the team fantastically well to make sure that, you know, there's still time to go. We have to manage the game.
But he's sensed it. Mm-hmm. And you feel the crowd. And he's been here long enough to know when it is. The first goal goes in and it's not enough. Mm-hmm. But he's like that. Not only whipping up the players because he's going on like that, we need more, but he's like that to the mm-hmm. the fans as well. A lot of the time, I'm not one of those. When they come running over and there's a corner, can they run over in front and they go like that and I'm going, oh, come on, I want you to just do your job. But it's times like that that you feel it's different. With Verge, and there was a few other players, and it was one of them, come on, we need a little bit more. And they got it.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that LFC TV Go is now available as a smart TV app on Amazon Fire TV, Android TV and Roku TV. You can watch all the latest on-demand and live content directly through your smart TV, whether that's full-match replays, post-match analysis, exclusive interviews or original documentaries that delve into the club's rich history and achievements. Simply download from your TV's app store, log in with your registered user details and get easy access to everything LFC. Now, let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. Let's get some reaction from inside the tunnel here at Anfield as Liverpool book their place in the Carabao Cup final against Newcastle next month. Connor Bradley is with Mark Benstead.
Connor, very well done. You're off to Wembley once again. How does it feel to be heading to another cup final?
Yeah, really, really happy. Obviously, we knew it was going to be a tough game tonight and we're just really glad to get the 4-0 win and get through to the final. And yeah, as you said, really looking forward to the final now and hopefully we can bring another trophy home to Liverpool.
Trailing coming into tonight, was it a case of just being patient? Spurs defended very well in that first half, just a case of get the first goal and then things should kind of look after themselves to a point?
Yeah, definitely, and I think we just had to play the same football we've been playing. And obviously, as you said, get the first goal, that ticked that off, and then we go on to the second, and I felt once we got the second, the game just opened up a lot more, and we were able to get the third and fourth.
Yeah, and you saw as the game went on, there's a real hunger within this group. At no point did it feel like you boys just said, you know, we're done, we'll just ease off. You kept pushing and pushing. Is that kind of just indicative of the mindset within the squad at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things we've got in the squad. We always want to push for more, and even whenever we scored the fourth goal, all the lads in the huddle were just saying, go for more, go for more, go for more. So that's probably one of the best bits about this team, and we're just hungry for more and more.
You've achieved quite a lot in a short space of time, but have you got used to the sound of your name being chanted around this stadium yet? Or is that still the kind of thing that kind of blows your mind a little bit when you hear it happen? It happened a few times tonight.
Yeah, it still blows my mind. I think that'll blow my mind my whole career that I'm at this football club. It's so special, and I'm so thankful for all the fans, for all the support they give, not only me, but the whole team. And yeah, it's obviously a special place to play football.
They'll travel in their numbers down to Wembley for the final. It'll be Newcastle who'll be their team that are playing very well at the moment. How difficult a task will that be, especially given they are a club who've been starved of success, not had a major trophy domestically since the 50s?
Yeah, of course it'll be a tough game. Newcastle are a really good team, especially at the moment. They're playing some really good football, and I watched them last night and they were very good against Arsenal. So yeah, we know it'll be a tough game, but we're really looking forward to it, and hopefully we can, as I said, bring another trophy back home to Liverpool.
And finally, is it a case now of sort of channeling the excitement of tonight but also parking thoughts of the final, because there's a lot to be done in the intervening period?
Yeah, we've just got to park this now and focus back on the FA Cup this weekend and then the league again. We just got to keep trying to win every game that we play and keep putting in good performances, and hopefully we can do that.
Well, let's have a word or two then on the final, given that Connor was just asked about it there. Liverpool against Newcastle United, and Mark mentioned that long wait for a trophy for Newcastle. You added to their woes in the 70s in that FA Cup final by beating them. This is how they've fared in recent years, that defeat to Liverpool. It's been a long, long way since beating Manchester City back in 1955. But 1974, one of those cup final defeats. Memories?
Yeah, it was wonderful. I was 20 years of age.
Goodness me.
Playing and
not aged a day. Given that you're aging that, I mean, you can maybe sort of compare to what Connor was just saying. Then, did you get to that level? You think, oh, it's easy. This would just turn up at a cup final, win a medal, go home.
Well, it did do. Started 72-73, winning the league and a UEFA Cup medal and a Central League medal then, which was great. But the FA Cup was just a wonderful day. And, you know, the morning of the game, I had my breakfast, and I remember eating my breakfast, and I was running upstairs, and Brian Hall, God bless him, said to me, where are you going, Tomo? And I went, the road to Wembley's on the telly. And he went, you're playing in it in a few hours. And I said, but I always watch you. It was still that thing of being young and sort of just want to play football. And being at Liverpool, you know, Connor is not a Liverpool lad, but to be a fan and to play in an FA Cup final was just everything. It was so special on the day. And of course, winning 3-0 was just fantastic.
Should be some atmosphere as well, given the two sets of fans.
Yeah, I think both fans are extremely passionate. I think, you know, going back to last year, I was a fan in the crowd, and I think the atmosphere there was really special. But any final, I think it means so much. And obviously Liverpool have got a long historic cup relationship with this, and I think this will be like no other. I think Connor speaks about how much it means to him to play at such a special club, and I think anyone associated with Liverpool knows how much it means. It's all about the fans, it's all about the passion, and I think they're very unique in terms of Newcastle again bringing their fans. They'll have the experience of being at the final previously, and yeah, I think it makes for an exciting final. Newcastle in good form as well.
Yeah, when you've seen the way they played last night, it was really an Arsenal, an impressive team. We've seen that against Manchester City. But for Newcastle to do what they did was quite, there was something special in that. And we've got to be ready for it. That high press, that commitment, what they put in. You get past that press and you can be good. And we have the players to do that.
Eddie Howe was saying as well last night that he thinks that they will be better for the experience of being there 2 years ago. They were beaten by Manchester United and probably felt they didn't really do themselves justice that day. Maybe froze a little bit.
No, do you know what? I watched the game and everybody said, I actually thought Newcastle did all right. Just on the day, small things mattered in that game. And I did a felt for them because I thought they actually were the better team, slightly. But they will be up for it. They'll be fired up for it. They'll so want this, but so do we. I don't care how many cup finals we've been in. We will be ready.
But that, I mean, that is the thing, isn't it, that you can never win too many medals as a player. He will tell you that for sure. But again, for Arne Slot, it would be a first one. For some of the players, it would be a first one. For some of them that weren't in the League Cup squad last year because of injury. Mm-hmm. There are so many reasons why, as Thomas said, it really does matter to win this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a trophy. When you're at Liverpool, you're expected to win. Being the holders of the trophy, they want to retain it. And I think, like we said, Arne Slot coming in his first season, I think he'll definitely want the first trophy that's available.
It's important. Gerard Houllier impressed that on the players in 2001. Get this one in the bag. Get this one in the bag. Win this one and you'll feel better for it. It'll give you more confidence to push on for the other cups that we were involved in. And he was quite right. It gave the players and the buzz and the collective, how everybody felt, was just so special. And yeah, it was only Birmingham, it was only in Cardiff, it wasn't Wembley, but it was special and the players all felt better together.
And it was, I mean, there's been some cracking Liverpool Newcastle games over the Premier League era, but even the one that they served up early this season showed you, I think, some of the reasons why Newcastle have been successful, the pressing, the intensity, and also Alexander Isak up front.
Yeah, I mean, what a player he is at the moment. I think you see last night what he did to Arsenal's two centre-halves. And, you know, although he didn't get on the score sheet, obviously he had the one that hit the post. But I think the effect that he has, and I thought Eddie Howe, the way he set up the team tactically to change that, he was very astute in doing that. And I'm interested to see how the final plans out because, you know, two managers coming up against each other that tactically are very astute and can challenge each other. But I think you see the threat that Newcastle have posed, and there was no surprise that they're going to be in the final as well.
Let's get some more reaction from the tunnel here at Anfield. Arne Slot is with Mark.
Arne, congratulations. Your first cup final with Liverpool is on the horizon now. How does it feel?
Pleasant, because you want to win every football game you are playing. I'm not playing, but I'm coaching. And the way we reach the final is definitely very good to see. So I think it took them 80 minutes before they had their first shot on target. So we were so aggressive in our pressing. We were so good with the ball. So to reach a final is always nice. To reach it with a 4-0 win makes it maybe even more special. But let's not get carried away, because it's reaching a final. That's not so special in the history of this club. So we are aware of the fact that that we still have to do many things well to make the people even more proud.
How much did it help, do you think, tonight, the fact it felt like a semi-final atmosphere? You know, when you got in the ground tonight, you could sense the crowd were up for this. Sometimes you never know what it's going to be like coming into a match, but you could certainly sense that from before kickoff.
Yeah, from before kickoff, indeed. And when we started the game as well, I think that it also helped that our players started off really aggressive. And normally, everywhere around the world, but especially these fans, pick it up and immediately go and help the team. It was a bit unlucky that in the first half there were some injury moments from Tottenham, which led to the fact that the intensity wasn't as hard as I was hoping it to be. But the second half, from start to finish, we were so intense with the help of the fans that we were able to have a real dominant performance.
There'll be an excitement amongst the fan base now because the final is lined up. There'll be an excitement probably within the playing squad, perhaps in yourself as well, because I don't know if you've been to Wembley. Do you tap into that, or do you box that off now and put it to one side because you've got so many other things to deal with in the coming weeks?
Yeah, the good thing is that we have so much to play for in every competition we are in. So I think everybody knows how we are, where we are standing in the league table. So competition, the league is so important for us. Champions League is important for us. So yeah, it's going to happen in a month, but we will not get carried away or distracted by playing the final, because we have so many more important things to fight for. But we should never take it for granted to reach a final. We try to work every day as hard as we can. Players put a lot of effort in to try to improve as a player, but we are also in this business because we want to play finals, we want to reach finals, and we want to win things, and we have a chance, although we experienced already how tough of an opponent Newcastle is, and I saw it yesterday as well. Intense team that is that deserve to be in the final as well. So it's a very interesting game to play, but there's a month to go with many important games before we play that final.
Mark Ben said, starting his journey now to Plymouth, I would have thought, on Sunday afternoon. But he said it there, didn't he, Arne Slot? There are many important games to come between now and March the 16th. One significant thing is that Liverpool were due to play Aston Villa that weekend. That fixture has now moved to February the 19th. So that is 2 weeks yesterday. That will be a 7:30 kickoff at Villa Park. No, February the 13th, February the 19th.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I asked you that before. I thought it was in March.
Anyway, that little bracket of games then. Everton away, Wolves at home, Aston Villa away, Manchester City away, and then the midweek after that is Newcastle at home. I mean, we're going to say this loads of times between now and the end of the season, but that little bracket of fixtures seems massive now in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's intense, isn't it? But remember before Christmas, we had so many, like a month of tough fixtures, and everybody kept talking about it. It came, it went, we conquered. And it doesn't matter, you have to approach each game. And I know you go each game as it comes, but that is the way this team is set up at the moment. And Arne's nice and calm about it. And that's the lovely, hopefully his dad enjoyed it tonight, by the way. It was a little bit better because he's had a moan, hasn't he?
But it's constructive criticism. You know, all parents are like that, aren't they?
Nah, you can do without it.
But obviously there's one way of looking at it that it's going to be tough, it's going to be hard on the legs, but if you can't enjoy this, where every game seems to be so important and every game you seem to be taking another step towards an incredibly special season, then you shouldn't really be a football player.
Yeah, I mean, you want to be playing in as many games as possible, and I think for Liverpool now, going into it with almost a clean bill of health, Joe Gomez coming back in, Diogo Jota coming back on tonight, I think as a squad, they're in a good place, and I think you're going to need the squad with the amount of games, the amount of travel. And again, we spoke about before, you know, the pleasure of having the tie this weekend against a lesser team. You would expect it to be comfortable, manage players and make sure they are fresh come these games, because it's an important period. And, you know, I think we spoke, Arne Slot mentioned about having a bigger squad almost on the bench that he could use those players and having those sense of value for those players, because, you know, there's a lot of players within, it's hard to get into the starting team at the moment with how well they're doing, and you just want to keep on winning, keep that mentality. And for those players that are training every day, you know, it's going to be important. They're going to have to be ready.
So what's the plan at Plymouth on Sunday?
Well, you look, I was doing that, by the way. I was having a look at the team sheet, and I was having a look at our subs, and obviously Joe Gomez is a possibility. And it more or less picks itself, which is really good from all those subs. Will Connor play? They will look. Arnaud and his staff do look at minutes and how many sort of minutes they've all played. Maybe Connor could play again.
You guess that might be dictated with how confident they are that Trent will play next Wednesday at Everton.
Yeah, but I get it. It's the way they look at games, because I think Trent started a couple of weeks ago and you thought, no. But it is, and I just think you have a look at all the subs, and Gemma said, they do need minutes, they do need games, because you want to feel part of it as well. So the team that will play down there at Plymouth, they will play in the right way. Arna seems to get the best out of them, and I think they'll all be looking forward to getting a game.
Yeah, you would say stick-ons would be Chiesa to start, Elliot to start, Endo. Mm-hmm. Who else? Jota?
Yeah, I think Jota obviously needs minutes. He's got a little bit. I'd be surprised if he started. But I think, again, there's definitely Endo in midfield. McAllister didn't start tonight.
Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa Diaz, coming in. Costas, know, again.
Will he just need a game, or yeah, will he need sort of an hour? Mm-hmm. I think this is it's decisions to be made, but they need to play. It sounds daft, and you think, oh, you don't want to get any injuries, but they need the this match practice.
I think it's important for the players that aren't playing to have that, you know, the match practice. I think you can train as much as you want, but that match fitness you can't get unless you play games. And I think they know that when they come on the pitch, they have to produce because of how well the team are doing. So I think that'll help build the players' confidence.
They'll fly there and back. It won't be like sort of getting a train or anything like that.
National Express.
No coaches anymore. So it'll be there. It'll be sort of 35 minutes down to Plymouth. The fans will take 3 days.
You obviously go down there in your helicopter every once in a while, do you? Yeah. Well, if you can't get down to Plymouth at the weekend, just a nod in the direction of Match Day Live. As you said, it is a Sunday game for Liverpool in the FA Cup fourth round against a Plymouth side that are struggling in the Championship this season. We are on air at 1:45 on Sunday for that one. That's it for today's episode of The Reaction. We are back on Sunday evening with more analysis and interviews as Liverpool head to Plymouth for the fourth round of the FA Cup. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode. Bye for now.